Hey everybody, it's Heath Mulliken from the Double Dropkick Show, and just wanted to put out an episode today. Some of you may be watching this on Facebook Live, and just wanted to share some thoughts on the current state of indie wrestling, following some news I read last week about Wrestle Circus out of Austin, Texas. So first thing, let's get to a few thoughts on Survivor Series. So I did not watch, my plan was to watch Survivor Series from start to finish. That ended up not happening, had some stuff going on. So after 11 o'clock, went back, and to be totally honest, I mean, as you can tell, I'm wearing an AJ Styles hat. The match that intrigued me the most that I really wanted to see was AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar. And I thought they put on a good match. I felt that they did the match they should have had. AJ sold his tail off for Brock. And here's the thing. Following that match, Brock Lesnar sold his tail off for AJ Styles. And with that, even though Brock won the match, his actions after the match put AJ Styles, put AJ Styles on equal. The only other part of Survivor Series I watched, just because I haven't had a chance to go back yet, was the end of the main event. So I didn't see the entire match. I didn't hear good reports about the 5-on-5 men's match. Their goal was to make Braun Strowman look strong at the end of the show, and they did. James Garcia's commenting here: did Triple H look a little off last night? I didn't. In the 10 minutes I watched, he looked fine. The other comments that are on the video, that guy's probably getting blocked from the group. We don't need that kind of junk. Just stupid. So anyway, he says, let me just tell you what the dude said. I want to tell you his name. Wrestling is true, a lie, or fake. That is like, that's exactly what we don't want in this group. So, whatever. Sorry, the idiocy or whatever blew my train of thought. So anyway, I don't have a lot of other thoughts on Survivor Series because, like I just said, I only watched the one match and I enjoyed AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar. I kept waiting. I kept hoping that Brock Lesnar would slip on a banana peel and AJ Styles would pin him like he did in our fantasy tournament last year against Andre the Giant. I was just so Mark Whitman could say they were stealing his booking ideas. So let's talk about the indie wrestling boom. Most of the people you talk about, man, indie wrestling is doing great and is blowing up. And I've been to some shows, and in some places it is doing very well. Recently was up in Wheeling, West Virginia. At a show at a casino, crowd of 600 plus, close to 700 with International Wrestling Cartel. They've been around 15 plus years. Over the weekend, Scenic City Trios drew over 250 people. And, Three Count Pro Wrestling, we had a show here in Greenville at a church gym and packed house, over 100 people. So depending on the night, and depending where you're at, there are good crowds at independent wrestling shows. Now there's times I've been to independent wrestling shows that had 15 people. Okay, I think what's happening now, and again, over the weekend, Ring of Honor had a tour and packed houses. I mean, sellouts, legitimate sellouts. Some of the guys from High Spots who do camera work for Ring of Honor posting pictures on Instagram and stuff. It's a packed house. And here's the thing, though, that you got to understand with the growth of Ring of Honor, WWE, and I'll even throw Impact Wrestling into this at this time, is these are all owned by outside forces. You know, Ring of Honor, of course, is owned by Sinclair, and they're getting ready. The company that owns WGN, there's a merger coming there. But they're owned by a major conglomerate. It's not Bill or John just running a wrestling company. Same thing with WWE now. It is a public company. There is money there to run. Impact, owned by Anthem Sports. There's money there. And so in the case of Ring of Honor and WWE, they're going to run their business. They're going to run it like a business, not to lose money. As far as Anthem goes, Impact Wrestling has never been run to make a profit, is what it seems like to me. It's never been run to make a profit. And that's the thing, okay? When Dixie Carter was in there, she had her dad's money. He's a billionaire. He's got money to lose. And so in a lot of indie wrestling, if you've got, or in any business, you can decide as the business owner, it's okay to lose money on this. That's not a way to run a successful business, but that's an option you have as a business owner. You can run your business not to make money. WCW was losing tens of millions of dollars. I think, you know, just after a few years, just a few years after the hot years of the NWO, they were losing $60 million. And WCW didn't close because they were losing money. They closed because they took them off TV. But Time Warner made a decision. Yeah, it's all right to lose money in this division because Ted Turner appreciated wrestling. He appreciated what wrestling had done, that there wouldn't have been Turner Broadcasting really without wrestling. So he didn't mind running it at a deficit for years and years and years. So what's happening now, okay, what you're seeing is it's cool now to run wrestling. It's cool now to run wrestling shows or whatever. So you have a lot of people getting into wrestling, and some people have more resources than other people. And some people who are running wrestling have other outside businesses, and they're able to run it at a deficit. They know, okay, I can write this off as a business expense. And so the current state of indie wrestling is kind of like a mirage, because you may go to a show, Wrestle Circus, for instance, canceled their event this weekend. They've been running a little over a year. They've been having really good crowds in Austin, Texas. There was a little hubbub about them earlier this year because they did an Indiegogo page, and they're trying to raise, I think, $250,000, something like that, several hundred thousand dollars, and offering fans a seat on the booking committee and stuff like that. So it's crazy. But they closed up saying, and if this is true, you know, thoughts that the owners were a couple and that the husband's dealing with some health issues. Totally understandable, you know. But there's also the idea that they've been running at a deficit and they're just out of money because they have been bringing in the biggest names on the indies, some of the biggest names. Sami Callihan, Jimmy Jacobs, his first appearance in the ring was a promo against Sami Callihan. They were setting up that match. And now if you go on Wrestle Circus's page, you can't buy tickets for future events. They announced they were opening a school in 2018. All those links are down, okay? And this was a company that from the outside appeared to be doing well, appeared to be drawing good houses, appeared to be doing well. And that's the thing, appearances are completely deceiving. Because if you've got money to lose or to burn, you can put on what appears to be a successful wrestling event. You can put on a show that sells out and not make any money. Because if the money you're putting out into talent, into marketing, into production, if the money you put out is more than the money you bring in, you're losing money. And I think a lot of people, I know this from experience, people get in and they don't understand the cost, not just financial, they don't understand the cost of running a wrestling promotion. So I'll send you over. There's a podcast called Preaching the Truth, hosted by John Schuyler, who's a wrestler from South Carolina, and Bob Keller, wrestling promoter from South Carolina. And they just did a recent interview, several hours long, with a guy named Patrick Price, who is promoted in North Carolina and now works with PWX. PWX, for all intensive purposes, is one of the most, from the outside, one of the most successful wrestling promotions in the Carolinas. They run in the Charlotte area. They're on the High Spots Network. There's a connection there with High Spots. And even PWX, you know, Patrick talking about, you know, a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. They've had to tighten their belts. You know, they've obviously said, hey, we're not closing. And, but still, they're having to cut budget, okay? Because, again, I don't know if anybody's making money. You go into Georgia. There are promotions in Georgia that have been around for years. Some 15 plus years. But they don't pay the talent. What they offer their talent is opportunity. Some of them have been on TV. But they don't pay their talent. And that's how they're making, or that's how they're making money, or they're breaking even. And these are larger names. I think one of the things social media has done to wrestling is social media has kind of blown everything out of proportion. Like, you could have a wrestling show with 50 people, but if you have the right fans there who post on social media how great your show was, it overshadows the fact that you only had 50 people there and you lost a bunch of money. Not just that you didn't make money, that you lost money. And that's why I'm saying I don't think the indie wrestling bubble is going to burst. I see your comment there, Jamal. I don't think the bubble's going to burst overall, because I think there's always going to be somebody who's going to have some money to spend, who's going to be intrigued by wrestling, who can be talked into it by a worker to start a promotion and run shows at a loss, at a deficit, for a certain period of time. And if you start out your company doing, you know, if you start out your company running at a deficit, you've got an expiration date on your company. Yeah, Jamal, if it doesn't burst, it'll be far less promotions in 2 years. I can agree with that. I can definitely agree with that. I have only been involved in independent wrestling for 2 years, and I have learned so much. And the number one thing I've learned is how much I don't know and how much I still need to learn. And my biggest thing has been to be honest with everybody, to listen to people who know more than me. And I've been, you know, really blessed to have people willing to have those conversations. And I do think there are some promotions, there's some promoters who are running their promotion in a way very wisely, okay? You may go to a show and be like, man, this, you know, the production's not that great, not a lot of people there, but they're not losing money. They're making money because they run smart and they take care of their talent and they pay their talent. So the people who are going to be here in 2 years are the people who are running wisely. And I think a lot of these people, let's use the term, I mean, the term is a money mark. Money mark is somebody who's got a lot of money to burn on wrestling, and somebody who can spend and spend and spend. But eventually there comes a time where it gets cut off. And it's just, that's what happened with DC Carter. DC Carter was a money mark. And she, you know, kept spending. And then finally, her dad, you know, cut her off or whatever. So here's the thing. So in South Carolina, there's a new promotion down in Myrtle Beach. Tommy Rich has opened a wrestling school. And he's put up, I think it's a GoFundMe, trying to raise $100,000 to get his promotion up and running. Do you understand what you could do with $100,000 to start a wrestling company? You could spend it really quickly, but you got to figure out how to sustain. You got to figure out how to make money. That's the thing. We talked about it on the show. Vincent Mann's, they're making money off their live events, but that's not their only source of income. That's why I appreciate, appreciate somebody like Boomer Payne, who he's diversified his wrestling portfolio. Go to soscustomtees.com, t-shirts, decals, DVDs. And constantly thinking of new ways to make money, not just from live events, which you can buy, you can buy tickets to Battle Zone shows on there. And lots of DVDs. They just put on their website, International Wrestling Cartel. I think I mentioned them earlier, out of Pennsylvania. Boomer's got year one of their DVDs. Guys like Chris Hero, CM Punk, Jerry Lawler, Christopher Daniels, guys like that. Wrestling for their promotion. So that's the key. That's the key, I think, moving forward, is these wrestling promoters got to figure out how to diversify and not just make money, not just depend on the live event for income, that you can have income coming in 7 days a week off of different things. I think some people have figured out how to do that. Some people are trying to figure out how to do that. And some people are clueless about that. So I think I love wrestling. I love going to live shows. I love being a part of live shows. The show Three Count put on Saturday night in Greenville. Tremendous experience, tremendous crowd. One thing I learned is Saturday night was a unique situation because our main event was a young man named Austin Jordan wrestling in the main event in his hometown at his church. This is his church. So I would say 75% of the crowd are people from the church who know Austin Jordan, who have supported Austin Jordan, who have followed him, not just his career, they followed his life. So they're not wrestling fans, but here's what. People understand the basic story of good versus evil, right and wrong. And I feel like we did a tremendous job of giving them that Saturday night. We made it very clear. Good guy, bad guy. Made that very clear. And when you do that, and when you get people to engage the crowd, it doesn't matter if they're a wrestling crowd or not. People understand the basic concept of good and evil. And I was just so proud of all of our guys who did that. Who did what we asked them to do in the way that they have been doing for a long time and hooked that crowd, this non-wrestling crowd. Now, there weren't any, this is awesome chance, but that crowd was hot all night. because, as our commissioner Eric Bowen says, they cheered for who they wanted to cheer for. They booed who they wanted to boo. And it was great. And I feel like, in a lot of ways, wrestling that has just become a spot fest where you're going from one spot to the other, you aren't taking the time to engage the crowd. And I feel like, so in the movies, they do these things called screenings, right? So they make the movie and then they screen it and then they kind of test drive it. And if they hear what people say about the movie, if they need to go make changes, they do. Well, in wrestling, a lot of guys don't do that. A lot of guys lay out their match and get out there with the crowd, and they don't change anything based on the crowd response. You got to go out there, and I'm not saying you don't have in mind what you're going to do. We've talked about on the show before, Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage, WrestleMania 3, that entire match was planned out. That's not me saying that. That's Ricky Steamboat saying they had a notebook, and they had the entire match planned out. Now, what made it successful at WrestleMania 3? They had been testing it out. First of all, you got Ricky Steamboat and Randy Savage, two of the greatest ever. Guys who get it. Guys who knew what the crowd wanted from them. But they had been working that match at house shows. They had been test driving it. They had been screening it. They had been listening to the crowd. And then put together the great match at WrestleMania 3. So what's gonna happen? And this is not going to be a mind-blowing prediction. You're going to see some promotions fade away over the next 2 years. You're going to see new promotions pop up. You're going to see a lot of just one-off shows. Because I think a lot of, especially in South Carolina, we've seen a lot of spot shows this year. There was a big show in Florence, Carolina Wrestling Entertainment. They ran the Florence Civic Center, which is a civic center which holds like a couple thousand people. And kudos to them for taking that risk. We had recently, I think, Lats in South Carolina. We had a promotion from New Jersey. I want to say it's Dynasty Pro Wrestling, just ran a show in South Carolina. Because there's an athletic commission in South Carolina, I keep up more with what's going on in South Carolina. And spoiler alert, there's been some recent changes in the South Carolina Athletic Commission and issues that we weren't having at the beginning of the year have started to kind of surface as far as paperwork getting done on one end, but not on the other end. I'll just say that. I don't think any of them listen to this podcast, but let's just play it safe just in case. But I try to keep up with the different promotions, you know, running in South Carolina. And I think you got to count the costs. You got to count the costs financially. You know, before we run the show, can we afford to lose money, and how much money can we afford to lose? And if that's how you're starting out, you're not going to be around long. And I just think some people have a better business sense than others. And again, I would put myself absolutely, okay, knowledge of wrestling, knowledge of business, I'm low man on totem pole. I'm not talking about this because I'm saying I can do it better. I just want to talk about the realities of independent wrestling right now. And that I know things are not as good as they appear from the outside. And then you talk about, you know, PWG out in California. They've been really smart. They could have expanded. They could have run bigger buildings, but they didn't. Their ticket prices have increased. And they sell out every single show that they have. And they know what those fans come expecting, and they give those fans what they come expecting. And I would not guess that they're losing money because it was started by wrestlers. So those are just, you know, my thoughts. You know, moving forward, here's the thing. When I hear about a new promotion coming to town or coming in the area, I try to go, spot show, things like that. I try to go to as much independent wrestling as possible. Here's another thing. Sorry. A lot of independent promotions. I think of, Anarchy. I think of, a lot of promotions in Georgia. APW Chester. A lot of these promotions that run a single building, which has some great pluses, but it also has some minuses. The plus is fans know where you're at, that you can run a regular schedule. Your setup time is way down. But the main negative is there's a cap. There's a cap on your attendance, and if there's a cap on your attendance, there's a cap on your income unless you raise ticket prices. So even those, and again, some of those promotions in Georgia, they don't pay talent. So that's how they keep their costs fairly low. They offer opportunity. And here's the deal. If you tell a guy you're not going to pay him and he comes and work and you don't pay him, no harm, no foul. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you tell a guy, we can't pay you, and they work for you, that's the agreement. So I'm not saying, hey, don't do that or that's wrong, because that's, you know, just pay them what you promise you're going to pay them, whether that's $0 or $1,000. Just pay them what you pay them. Jamal asked a good question. And hey, Jamal has a great podcast, Conversations with the Beard. It's on iTunes, and you can check it out. He interviews a lot of great guys in South Carolina, North Carolina wrestling scene. Jamal asked, have we ever had issues with securing a venue? We have, personally, in just my brief time, we have not had problems. Part of that, now, there are changes coming. We have not had issues with venues. As a matter of fact, one of the pluses we've had is we've had great arrangements with our venues. And some people have to pay to rent venues, and some people don't. And there's been, you know, sometimes we've had to pay a fee, and sometimes we haven't. Recently, you just heard Golden Corner Wrestling up here in the upstate South Carolina. They had a show scheduled for December 9th. They had secured their building. It was a local high school, their biggest show of the year. And literally, like, one day it's secured, they order tickets, they start promoting it. Next day, school calls them back, oh, we're double booked. So that's on, you know, where the school pulls out. And you know, you just feel terrible for people like that, especially good people who have dotted all their I's and crossed all their T's, and they're good people to work with. And it's just one of those things where the high school makes a mistake, and but for us, you know, we haven't had a problem with venues, and part of that is if you take care of the venue, they want you there, especially if they can make money on concessions, things like that. If it's worthwhile for the people running the venue, then that's a good thing. Like I said, that's a big deal though. That's a big deal. Cause if you don't have a building, you can't run, and you got to have a building that's got a, you know, ceiling that's, you know, 14 feet high or higher, hopefully, so you can actually have a wrestling match. I've been in buildings where the ceiling was not high enough for guys to go off the top rope. And it's interesting. It's interesting to say the least. But I, you know, I'm watching all this with great curiosity and great, again, just curious as what's next for independent wrestling. And my knowledge, you know, what I'm exposed to is primarily Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. Who knows what's, it may be different in other parts of the country, especially places that don't have a commission. You know, Illinois, they've got some great promotions up there. I'm interested to see what Glory Pro does. You know, Michael Elgin's promotion up there, they've run some great shows and training guys, and it's just going to be interesting, but I'm just enjoying it. Like Mark says it all the time, life's too short to watch bad wrestling. Just watch wrestling and watch what you enjoy and don't watch what you don't enjoy. Last night, WWE Network's on demand, so I didn't watch Survivor Series live. There was one match I wanted to watch. I watched it at 11:15, and I was entertained. I still got to go back and watch the War Games match, which... from everything I saw on social media, I have not seen one negative comment about the... I mean, people discussed the roof on the cage or the lack of a roof on the cage, but as far as the actual match, I've only heard positive things, so, but I haven't been on... Let me tell you what makes you enjoy wrestling a little bit better is I stay off social media during shows, especially last night because I didn't want spoilers. So thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, DoubleDropKick.com is where you can listen to all our episodes. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play. Don't forget to check out SOS Custom Tees. If you're a wrestler out there listening to this or promoter, they can hook you up. Great t-shirt designs, fast delivery. They set up the store for you. You don't even have to have any inventory. SOS Custom Tees, people can go there and order t-shirts and make you money. They do all the work and make you money. So again, they've got great DVDs and stuff like that. They've been great friends of the Double Dropkick show. And like I said, hoping to get a show shirt design up there as soon as possible. But we appreciate all your support. Don't forget, you can talk to us on Twitter at Heath Mulliken, Mark's at the DDK show. Hoping, you know, this is Thanksgiving week, so this would typically be our Thursday to record. Obviously, the whole Thanksgiving thing, we're not going to be recording on Thursday, but hoping to get together sometime this weekend and record some shows for you. Lots of folks going up to WrestleCade this weekend, Starcades in Greensboro. Here's the thing, even with, you know, WrestleCade, and you know, they've been very successful. They've now got their own, AML has their own, network. So it's just interesting. I'm interested to hear some reports. If you're going to WrestleCade or to Starcade, hit us up on the Facebook group. If you're listening to this on, listen to the audio, it's The Wrestling You Grew Up With on Facebook. And, we try to, you know, keep it clean and keep it nice. And, I went a little bit longer than I intended to, but had some good questions here and appreciate everybody listening. But as always, for the Double Dropkick Show, this is Heath Mulliken, and we'll see you soon.